What are you going to do when Santa comes by?
I'm going to say, what's up?
So when I hear that clip every year, it reminds me that the holidays are, in fact, here. Yeah. It's pointless to try to hold them back. None of this, oh, wait till after Thanksgiving BS. Officially, Christmas starts today. If we're going in the air with details of K-Rock's Almost Acoustic Christmas 2006, it's time. It's here. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Hey, what are you going to do?
Right.
I mean, we you know, you go through Thanksgiving, you take off pretty much that whole week, and then when you get back, it's right there. Things are right there. So details on Acoustic Christmas, K-Rock's Almost Acoustic Christmas 2006 coming up 1 hour from right now. But first, details on this year's Kevin Amin Christmas CD. Last year, we sold out immediately. I mean, last year it was so hard to find. It was crazy. People were emailing us the day it came out saying, where do I find it? And we were like, what the hell already?
I don't know what went wrong, man. It seems like we made as many as usual, but they vanished. I didn't even have a copy to burn for my friends. That's how out of stock that one was.
They sold out before we could get our own, which is really sad.
Yeah, that was awful.
But this year, we decided to go with a theme. As you know, last year was the Fantastic Four. This year, you got X-Men 3. This year, you got Superman Returns. On TV, you got Heroes. So it seems like it's a superhero time right now.
Mm-hmm.
So we're proud to announce Kevin Amin Christmas CD this year is Kevin Amin Super Christmas. And it has 34 tracks on it.
Damn.
Wow.
34 tracks. The reason we do this every year is that we get tired of the same old versions of the same old songs.
Mm-hmm.
So we go out and we get comedy and we get our bands to record sometimes a remake of a Christmas song, sometimes brand new songs for Christmas so that you have something a little different than the same old damn versions of those damn songs because I can't take them anymore. this one, Kevin Amin's Super Christmas, featuring a track from Stan Lee.
Oh.
People, Stan Lee.
Special K. Beanbutt, the pet parent. I've never seen a lamer bunch of costumed losers in my life.
Yes.
Now, of course, Stan Lee, if you don't recognize the name, is the comic book legend who created Spider-Man and created the X-Men and created all those other great cartoon characters. So he knows when he says we're lame, Stan Lee knows what he's talking about.
So I'm Special K, Bean is Beanbot, Lisa's the pet parent,
mm-hmm.
Psycho Mike is Roid Rage, and it just goes on from there. Ralph is the Green Eagle. We all have superpowers. Mine is being dumb. we have guests on that you hear on the Kevin and Bean Show from time to time, like TMZ's Harvey Levin.
As always, our TMZ cameras were there.
My life is Don't you know I own the North Pole?
So that's a little of that one. We also have Al Gore on this year's Kevin and Me Christmas CD. Who would have thought?
Wow.
In 2006.
Big year with this movie. You know.
The North Pole is melting.
Oh, crap. So this is all about your global warming bullshit.
Little taste of that. We're just giving you tiny snippets so you know exactly what to expect. One of the bands that has a star on here, I'm looking at the song title. Mm-hmm. Star of Bethlehem is the song title, and it's done by Angels and Airwaves on the Kevin and Bean Christmas CD, Kevin and Bean Super Christmas.
By the way, the Angels and Airwaves fans on the internet are really buzzing about the album, our album that comes out on Tuesday, because that's the only place you can get it. It's not available anywhere else. It was recorded specifically for Kevin Amin Super Christmas, and that's the only place to buy it.
And Tuesday being a week from tomorrow, November 21st, a week from tomorrow, we do have some things that explain our superpowers.
Today, Bean Baxter fights for Toast, Hello Kitty, and the freedom to blog.
Hey, I picked the important stuff, man. Come on.
That's right. We also have Snow Patrol on this year's Kevin Amin Christmas CD. Kevin Amin Super Christmas, Just Like Christmas.
Bats were small, but we felt so young. It was just like Christmas.
How about that?
I like
Patrol.
That. Yeah.
Sounds awesome.
How many times have you heard that? 1,000? 5,000? No. I submit to you, no. You guys remember Gunther, who is my absolute favorite? Gunther, remember this guy?
Yeah.
Oh, you touch my ta-la-la. My ding-ding-dong.
He's the best.
He has a Christmas song that's on Kevin and Bean's Super Christmas. Gunther with Christmas song.
Ding dong, it's a Christmas song.
He's committed to that ding dong, isn't he? You know what happened? Gunther had that original Ding Dong song, and he heard from some people that it was a bet that he couldn't make a gayer song than that one. There's no way. You can't be gayer than that song. And he said, watch me. And then he came up with the Christmas song.
He sure lets the background singers carry the weight on that one, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah.
He does. He says the Christmas awesome, song, though. And then they sing the entire song. Let's see. We got Jack's Mannequin, which is Andrew from Something Corporate. We've got 30 Seconds to Mars. We have Taking Back Sunday. We have Plus 44. She Wants Revenge. Damn. All of those people. Kevin Smith is on this year's Kevin and Bean Super Christmas. We have Super Horror on the Christmas CD. We have Mole, who comes on the air from time to time. We even have Federlisi on this year's Kevin and Bean Christmas CD, which comes out a week from tomorrow. Ladies and gentlemen, Federlisi with Christmas Time in Malibu.
It was a dark night this one time.
Damn, that's Mole.
Sure is. Sure the hell is.
Oh, there we go. All right, here's a little bit of it.
Go, Jesus, it's your birthday. We're going to party like it's your birthday.
All right, that's all the time we have right now. But we'll give you some more clips a little bit later on this morning. It's Kevin and Bean Super Christmas, 35 tracks, I guess I'm now learning.
Yes.
And it comes out a week from tomorrow, and it's in all Best Buy stores. So make sure and stop and pick those up a week from tomorrow. They do go fast. Like I said, last year it sold out immediately. So we will take a quick break and come right back.
You know, we were talking about Kevin and Bean Super Christmas that comes out at Best Buy stores a week from tomorrow a few minutes ago. And I think we forgot to mention that you can download instant message icons of all of our super characters. And associate producer Alex, Super Whore, on the CD, just instant message me with hers, and it's awesome. You actually get your own instant message icon. How awesome is that?
That's very cool.
Each one of us is a superhero with our own powers,
yes,
and in our own little minds and in this little CD. So I think you'll like that. Comes out a week.
I love that mine is, my power is watching television. That's what I love.
Well, that is your strength. So 323-520-AFRO is the phone number, 24 hours a day. We're going to do that. Then we're going to come back with Ralph's Showbiz Beat. You can leave a message on any topic, including any of the other DJs here at K-Rock.
Hey, this is Jed the Fish, and I don't know what I'm going to talk about, so I'm just going to babble and mumble and talk about nothing and ramble on and on forever and ever. Dude, figure out what you're going to say before you open your mouth.
What if your name was Asshore?
How dare you? How dare you disparage our friend Jed?
Wait till next hour when we tell you about the calendar signing and how we got totally lambasted by a listener for making fun of Jed.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
And we love Jed. But, yeah, that's what happened. Here's a little tip about a TV show that's coming up.
William Shatner is getting his own game show. It's going to be Shat-tacular.
It is going to be Shat-tacular. That's true. We're going to talk to William Shatner tomorrow morning on the Kevin and Bean Show about that. It is tomorrow night. So there you go.
Hey, I don't really care so much for Marky Mark, but I think they should bring back the Funky Bunch. Yeah, the Funky Bunch.
I wonder whatever happened to those guys. I mean, at least, you know, Mark Wahlberg, who was the rapper, at least he now has a successful acting career where he can say, yeah, it was funny, I used to be in the Funky. If you were one of the guys in the Funky Bunch and you weren't Mark Wahlberg, what's that like?
Yeah, I used to be a member of the Funky Bunch. You remember the Funky Bunch with Mark Wahlberg? Oh, yeah, I've heard of Mark Wahlberg. We're on the Funky Bunch. That would suck ass. Bean, for some reason, is obsessed with the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald, which makes no sense to me, because if you like death and you like shipwrecks, you'd think the Titanic would be the direction he'd go. But no, that's where everybody else goes.
Right.
So he picked some obscure little wreck in a lake, and he loves the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald, and this girl is not so happy with him.
Bean, I grew up in Upper Michigan, just off Lake Superior, and the people up there don't give a shit about the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. You are so gay.
How dare you? I have not had the time to plan the appropriate vacation to go to the Great Lakes, but there's a shipwreck museum there and the Maritime Sealers Cathedral and so many cool things that I can't wait to go see in person.
Bean takes great joy in death that happened a long time ago. Here's a listener with a little song that they can't get out of their heads.
I just had to get this off my chest. It's peanut butter jelly time, peanut butter jelly time. Where you at? Where you at? Where you at? And there you go. There you go. Peanut butter jelly, peanut butter jelly, peanut butter jelly, peanut butter jelly in a baseball bat.
That song makes everything better, doesn't it?
It does.
Maybe the best song of all time. Here's a listener that's very excited about something that I'm not a big fan of.
You know, it just occurred to me. It's November. Oh, the Butterball Hotline's coming up soon. Oh, I can't wait. I love that. Butterball, yay!
See, what you don't get, Kevin, is
I
that
get we, it!
No, but you don't understand. I play the farmer who's trying to get help with catching a turkey, and the Butterball Turkey Hotline is set up to tell you how to cook a turkey, and Ralph plays the part of the turkey. Don't you see?
Why are you the way that you are?
Here's a call from our old friend.
Hey, Kevin and Bean is Dow Doe. Doe Toe, Kevin and Bean.
I just don't know what the hell to tell you guys, man. I just got back from a damn buffet, and I went to Todai Buffet. You know how much they charged me?
For those of you that don't know Doto, he loves himself a buffet. That's the most exciting thing in his world. You know how much they charge him?
About $25, Kevin Bean. But wow. I make plenty of money, so I can afford any food. But at least I'm pretty good at... I'm trying to watch my weight, Kevin Bean. I'm about 220. I'm almost freaking about 220. I really need to get down to 190.
Okay.
So at least I just got back from this buffet, man. So Kevin Bean, I really want to make it in the entertainment industry. So I guess I know what I'm doing. I know what the heck I hate to do. So yeah, my stomach, man,
right,
is just really killing me. I'm talking about it. Bye.
You understand, he called to tell us he ate too much.
Yes, but before he got to that, he called us and then said, I don't know really what to tell you guys. It's not like we were pressing him for some serious answers.
It's not like we called him and said, hey, what's going on? And he didn't have anything. He called us. He dialed. I don't know what to tell you guys.
He's the best.
Oh, my God.
We're big Laker fans here at K-Rock. Well, not all of us, but most of us are Laker fans. And Dave, the King of Mexico, who answers our phones, he's pretty much had it with us.
Clippers, baby! Yeah, Dave! That song rules!
So Dave put together a song. You might have heard it on K-Rock. It's his homage to the Clippers.
The Clipper Nation's back.
Yeah!
The Laker fans don't know how to act.
Yeah!
The Lakers suck, and we know that.
Yeah!
We're playoff bound, and that's a fact.
Yeah! Tell them who they are!
Elton Brand. He cleans the boards, cause he's the man. Katino Mobley cuts through the lane. Sam Cassell has a poster game.
Fans.
Tony Jack got Malcolm in the middle. Tony Jack got Michael Clark Duncan. Tony Jack got Penny Marshall. Tony Jack got Dancing Daryl. Tony Jack got King of Mexico.
Go Mexico.
Got King of Mexico.
Go Mexico.
Got King of Mexico.
Go Mexico.
Got King of Mexico. You know, I'm tired of Kevin being a psycho Mike not giving the Clippers their props.
Yeah.
With a team that also has Maggette, Thomas, Ross, Livingston, and Kamen, it's over. You know who's the best in the West? There ain't no Warriors. There ain't no Trails blazing, the Lakers are drying up, the suns are setting. Clipper Nation number one, 2006, you know they're going all the way. King of Mexico, and I'm out.
I think it's hot. It's hot. It's hot. It's tight. It's a hit, man, and I like it. I'm going to go get it. That's a keeper right there.
Don't need Jack, referring to Jack Nicholson. Got Malcolm right in the middle.
Yeah, right, way better.
That's the line that you got there.
Monday morning, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. Ralph, what's going on?
Well, let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend, shall we? For a movie to make more money in its second week of release than its first is almost unheard of in the movie industry. However, Borat was released on an additional about 2,000 screens over the weekend. That allowed it to beat its first week's numbers, which was about $25 million. It made $29 million this weekend.
I'm so excited about that. I was so afraid that it was an underground thing with the HBO show and all that. I know he did a lot of press.
It was, and I think people just have discovered it, and they're telling their friends, and they're saying it's one of the funniest movies they've ever seen, and people are going in droves.
It's one of my top five movies of all time.
It is on track, they say, to break the $100 million mark by around Thanksgiving.
That's amazing.
This movie cost probably around $15 million.
Do you think there are executives in Hollywood, there have to be, there always are with movies like this that come out of left field, who turned it down, who had the opportunity to make this movie and said, nope, not going to do it. Not worth it.
Many, many studios passed on this. Many production companies passed on giving the money just to make it. It was a hard-fought battle. However, just based on the pre-release buzz before the movie even came out, Universal ponied up something in the neighborhood of like $40 million for his next film, which will be Bruno, the Austrian gay fashionista,
right.
Who is also a character from Ali G. So people are realizing this guy is a freaking genius. Somebody compared him this weekend to Peter Sellers. I know you guys are familiar with Peter Sellers.
Wow.
The guy who did the Pink Panther movies and also did Dr. Strangelove and just many classic performances in the 60s and 70s.
Right.
And he's considered one of the finest comedy minds that Britain has ever turned out. This guy's being compared with him, and I think rightly so. He's a genius.
Too. Then why is everybody suing our pal Borat then? What's up with that? I keep reading
because
about all these lawsuits.
They don't want to look like a-holes in a major motion picture, and they do.
Oops.
Yeah, well, don't be an a-hole.
That's my answer.
But now the villagers in Romania, where he shot the hometown stuff, now they're talking about suing him.
Yeah.
You made us look ugly.
Yeah, I don't know how that happened.
The guy with the guy who had his arm missing. That guy got his hand missing, and then they strapped a dildo to it. He's like, I didn't know that's what they were going to do. Well, what did you think? You put a dildo on your stump. What did you think? You thought it was going to somehow look good?
I mean, it wasn't a dildo. It was a rubber fisting toy.
Okay. Excuse me.
Get it right.
Distinction.
Yes. Santa Claus 3 was number 2 at the box office. Made about $17 million. Flushed Away was 3rd. Stranger Than Fiction was number 4. Saw 3, number 5. Then Babel. The Departed, The Return, The Prestige, and A Good Year rounding out the top 10 of the box office this weekend.
I went to see Harsh Times, the Christian Bale movie, which was great.
Why so harsh with me times?
I loved it. Did you? A little slow at the beginning, but man, it did it. Turn around and end big. It was great.
Cameron Diaz is getting a nose job that she actually needs.
Deviated septum?
It's unheard of for an actress to get plastic surgery that's not elective, usually. Yeah. In this case, she actually needs it. She's had her nose broken 4 times.
Wow.
How?
Last time was in a surfing accident. The board hit her in the face. She's a very active girl. She's very athletic. And so she's had several accidents. And she says at this point, she can't breathe out of it at all. One side of her nose is totally shattered. Her septum is basically like a train derailed, she said.
Oh, my God.
So I'm getting it fixed. I can't take it anymore. I need to breathe. So
there
she
is
wants everyone to know
it's
not a vein. It's not a vanity thing. It's just the fact that she would like to be able to breathe.
I did the exact same surgery for the exact same reason. Remember?
Yeah. Turned out good for you.
Yeah, it really did.
My nose, especially when you sneeze. When you sneeze, it's magical.
Well, I should have had them straighten my nose since they were in there, but they didn't.
Yeah. Well, your looks are rugged. You can get away with it.
Those rugged, you don't want to change looks. What's working.
That's true. Sad news for Pamela Anderson and Kid Rock. They announced over the weekend, they confirmed rather over the weekend, that she suffered a miscarriage.
Oh.
Yeah. She's 39 years old, you know?
Yeah.
It's going to be harder and harder for her to have a baby, but she's announced that baby between her and Bob, Kid Rock, did pass away, but she said they're going to keep trying. So good for them.
Okay. Well, how many kids do they need? Don't they have a bunch between them?
Yeah, but none of their own.
Nah.
Sometimes people want to make their own.
Sometimes that's true.
Some people do. And congratulations, speaking of babies, to Spider-Man star Tobey Maguire. He is celebrating the birth of his first child, a 31-year-old jewelry designer. No, I'm sorry. That's his fiance. I'm sorry. I thought the baby was a 31-year-old.
That's impressive. God.
Wow, that's quite a baby.
Bad. Well, yeah, he's a superhero and all. You know, he's Spider-Man. I figured he could give birth whatever he wanted. He's lucky he just has, you know, 2 arms and 2 legs. No, his fiance is Jennifer Meyer, and she, of course, is the daughter of Universal Studios executive Ron Meyer. And she gave birth to a baby girl over the weekend. No word yet on the name of the baby. I think Spidey would be cool, though.
Sure, Spidey.
Little Spidey McGuire.
Oh, sure.
So cool. And Jude Law and Sienna Miller have split up.
Oh, really? I thought that was going to last forever.
This only makes the 47th time the two have ended their relationship. After a 3-year relationship, they said this time it's for good.
Good. Right.
Until,
I hope so.
Until they get back together.
Right. And then he bangs another nanny.
Right.
And then that'll be all over. So there you go. I thought this was interesting. I follow these memorabilia stories when they have these auctions.
Right.
Because I'm a collector.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm always curious to see what these kind of items go for. And there was recently a auction for celebrity memorabilia again, and there were some sunglasses that were worn by Steve McQueen. I don't know if you're familiar with Steve McQueen or not, but he was a huge, huge movie star in the 60s.
Oh, yeah.
And he did a movie called The Thomas Crown Affair that was later remade with Pierce Brosnan and Rene Russo.
Oh, I like the remake. I didn't know that was
the
original.
The original is real good, too. He did it with Faye Dunaway. Anyway, he wore these sunglasses. They're sort of famous. Blue-tinted Persol sunglasses.
Mm-hmm.
$650,000 they went for at auction this weekend.
Oh, my God.
Are you kidding me?
$650,000 for sunglasses!
What the?
Yeah. There was a motorcycle, an Indian motorcycle that he rode that was his, that he owned. Only went for $150,000. But the sunglasses went for $650,000.
Must have been just 2 psychotic fans that really, for some reason,
going at it.
Yeah, just bidding each other up. That's crazy.
That is just way crazy. Oh, God, I wish one of you guys would die so I could make some money off you.
I'm guessing you're not going to get $650,000 for a pair
bottle
of sunglasses.
Of Kevin's hair dye could go for like $200,000.
I'm guessing not.
That'd be awesome. Today's celebrity birthday is Joe Mantegna. Very talented actor. He is 59 years old today. Whoopi Goldberg, Oscar-winning actress Whoopi Goldberg, is 51 years old today. Chris Noth, I say, is Mr. Big on Sex and the City, and he's also on CSI. He is 50 years old today. Not CSI. Law and Order.
Law and Order.
CVU.
CIV. LMNOP.
Yes.
CRQ. He's 50. Steve's on. Very talented actor. He's 38 years old today. And Jimmy Kimmel, our old pal Jimmy. Whatever happened to Jimmy when he left doing sports here on our show?
Died? Yeah.
Oh.
Very tragic.
I think someone could have told me.
Yeah, I know.
I think he's still alive, Kevin.
Oh, pretty sure. I think he's out of the business, but I think he's still alive.
Oh, okay.
He's, I think now he's working at the all-you-can-eat buffet at the Four Queens Hotel and Casino in Vegas.
Is that right?
That's what he's doing. He's running the shrimp. He's in the shrimp department.
He's always wanted to run the shrimp.
Yep. He's 39 years old today. We wish Jimmy the very, very happy birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
This story might be the strangest story I've ever read, and what? I have never heard of this happening before.
I am shocked, by the way, and when folks hear the story, they'll understand why I am shocked that this has not been featured on The Insider yet with Pat O'Brien, because this is the kind of medical oddity that is right in their wheelhouse.
There is a set of twins that has been born named Benny and Banner.
Okay.
And they've been born to a mixed race couple.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them is white and one of them is black. Now,
so they're
identical twins.
Well, they can't be identical twins.
Yes, they are. They're supposed to be, like, all of the other looks are exactly the same, but
really?
One of them is black, one of them is white. Yes. How crazy is that?
Standing O!
The mom
Standing
said...
O!
The mom said, it's weird to have twins of different colors, but they still look alike to me. It's something we'll get used to over the years.
That is so odd.
How unbelievable is that?
But how did it? I don't understand. How did it happen? Same parents, right? This isn't like the chick on House last week who had two different babies in the chamber by two different dads. They are married, same father, same mother, right?
They think that the black kid got his genes from his great granddad three generations ago.
Oh, a recessive gene just kind of popped back
sort of
up,
sort of like blue eyes in one kid and all the others have brown. But usually it would be fraternal twins,
They're identical. They're just different colors.
Wow. Okay.
Isn't that awesome?
That's the weird part. So you go, like, this is what I would look like if I were black.
Yes.
Everything else is the same.
We have too many questions to just speculate. So we asked producer Lightning to line up the happy family. And I guess we got him on the line from Britain, right?
I believe so, yes. Good morning.
Hello. Yes. Benjamin here.
Oh, hi. Is this is one of the kids?
Yes, this is Benjamin Heifetz.
Oh, we understood that we were talking to your mom, Patricia, but no, you're on the line. Okay.
No, I'm sorry. She's quite busy right now.
I thought the name was Benny.
Well, yes. I suppose you could call me Benny if you were a commoner.
I see. Okay.
Yes, but my name actually is Benjamin.
Benjamin.
Now,
okay.
Benjamin, more impressive than the fact that you have a black identical twin brother is that you are speaking to us when you're only 3 months old.
Yes, well, the education system here in Great Britain is superior to those of yours in the States.
You think it's the education system why you can talk at 3 months old?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes, I was raised on Shakespeare, of course, Oscar Wilde, the classics.
Sure.
I was reading Shakespearean sonnets in utero.
Is that right? How did you get them in there?
Very, very small books were swallowed by my mother.
Now, you're still in the hospital, I can hear.
Yes, so we were premature.
Okay.
I choose to believe that because my brother caused the property values to plummet inside my mother's uterus.
Oh, Benjamin.
Oh, now, come on.
And we were forced to leave early due to pressure from the neighbors.
Oh.
Why would you say something about that about your sweet little baby brother? Come on.
You haven't had to live with him for the past 6 months.
Okay, well, do you mind if we speak to Banner?
All right, if you insist.
Thank you, Benjamin.
Banner.
I know, that's his name, yeah.
Why do these Negro parents insist on causing their children by such bizarre names?
And Benjamin, that's your mother and father.
Or is it? One second. Oh, Banner, they would like to speak with you. What the? All right. Yeah, what's up?
Is this Banner?
Yeah, this is Banner.
Wait.
Who did?
You're the identical twin brother of Benjamin that we just talked to?
That's right, I'm the identical brother.
So
you got a problem with that?
Well, no, it's odd for us to think about identical twins, one being black, one being white.
Yeah, well, get used to it, mother effer. I'll slap you upside your head.
Is that right?
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
We just talked to your brother, and he doesn't sound anything like you, and it seems like you guys have been together every minute since you were conceived.
Yeah, too goddamn long, if you ask me.
Is that right?
I'm so glad when they cut the damn umbilical cord, I'll go wrapping around that bitch's neck. Set up with him.
I thought twins pretty much were soulmates for life. I mean, they were, like, connected somehow.
You can't be a soulmate if you got no soul.
Oh, because he's white.
That's right.
I see. I got
cracker. Cracker I'm sitting next to. Let me tell you about this bitch.
Please.
He made me ride in the back of the uterus the whole time.
Is that right?
That's just wrong.
What? I'm like goddamn Rosa Parks.
How do you know who Rosa Parks is at 3 months old?
Oh, like, I don't know stuff. Because I'm black, I don't know things.
No, you're 3 months old.
Oh, I'm black. I guess I got to be stupid then,
God
don't I?
For God's sakes, Banner.
Oh, man. I'm tired of your crap.
Okay.
How come Big Boy's not calling me?
I don't think he's found the story yet.
What a damn white radio show got to call me.
Sorry Next about that.
Steve Harvey.
Okay, he's actually...
Where's Tom Joyner?
Dude, I don't have the answer to any of these questions.
Hell, I'll set up a Larry Elder. Black is white man in the world.
Yeah.
He's like me. Black on the outside, white on the inside.
Do you think you're going to have trouble through life having a white brother?
No, man. It's going to be great. It's going to be great being the only black man in a white family. No, it's going to be spectacular. Looking forward to my life very, very much.
Okay. Well, thank you for talking to us, Banner. If you could give us, your other twin again real quickly,
Hold
we would appreciate it.
Yo, Benny.
Benjamin.
Benny. I want to talk to you again, man.
Man, anger issues so young, too. It's sad.
Hello.
Benny?
Now you see what I've been going through.
Yeah.
Wow. He doesn't seem to like you very much.
I wouldn't if I was him either.
How come?
I don't envy his lot in life.
Why?
Being the black brother of a white man.
But you're twins. You're exactly the same.
I wish that was the case. You should see what he's got hanging between his legs.
Oh, is that right?
I guess there is one advantage. Oh.
Already it's that big?
I thought it was his umbilical cord.
Oh.
Well, you're screwed, Betty. We're sorry about that.
I am screwed, but I won't be screwing.
No, that's
I'll
true.
Be doing all of that.
That's true.
Hey, I want to say hi and thanks and big ups to Tustin, where we were Saturday. All of us came down to Tustin at the Best Buy store there for the release and the signing of the 2007 K-Rock calendar. Kevin has been saying a lot of nasty stuff about Tustin over the years, but, man, it all proved to be wrong.
What's wrong with you?
That was an awesome crowd down there.
I love Orange County. It's just, I don't know how to describe it. First of all, the women are way hot.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
That's just the case. But, you know, it's one of those times during the year that we have to allow our listeners in the general proximity of being. And sometimes that doesn't go quite so well.
Well, they shouldn't look at me right in the eye. We warned them ahead of time.
I wrote down a few things that listeners said as they walked up. One man said, kids, don't get too close to Bean. I thought that was pretty funny.
That's good advice.
Bean at one point told one of the listeners, you must be a constant disappointment to your friends and family. That's might be why we don't let him out. Bean said, what up, thug, to one of the guys. Bean signs with a happy face signature, and I thought, really, that's the opposite of what Bean should be saying. He's one of the most negative people, and he signs a little happy face because, you know, he's a chick. He was talking to a woman, and he said, you have sex hair. It looks like you just rolled out of bed. And
I said, you remember her?
Yes. And do you remember what I said to you?
Now, what'd you say?
Her six-year-old is right behind her. Literally right there.
I wasn't suggesting he was involved.
Yeah. No, but I'm just saying you don't really want to be talking about mom having sex here in front of the kid, perhaps.
All right. I'll make
we
a
also
note.
Had another listener who said, hi, Bean. And Bean said, hey, how's it going? And the guy said, you know, you ignored me the first two times I met you.
We hear that a lot about Bean,
And then Bean came back with, I think I made the right decision. We'd also like to do a special shout-out to some of our K-Rock listeners who think that they are much more interesting or whose parents think that they are much more interesting with a very interestingly spelled name.
Mm-hmm. Oh, dude, this batch was, by time we got to Janet with two N's, I was ready to leave that place.
Yeah, Janet with two N's is one of them.
Yeah.
I'd like to say, give a shout-out to Jen Minette. That's a K-Rock listener.
Jen Minette. Yeah, I remember her.
I'd like to give a shout-out to Tiger with a Y. That's good. Sudeep, I'd like to say hi to. Mape. Tho, T-H-O, I'd like to say hi to. Moy, M-O-Y. And we said, what is that? Well, it's short for Moises. What? Moises, right.
Moises, yeah. That's right.
Yeah, that's no better. Shareya, S-H-A-R-A-Y-A-H. Hi to Fantasia with an A-Y in the middle.
Uh-huh. That's right.
Hi to Awesome, who said that was really awesome. That's my name, A-W-E-S-O-M-E. And we said, no, it isn't. Show us your ID. And he showed us his ID. It's A-S-I-M. But he calls himself Awesome. Hi to Leanna, L-E-I-Y-A-N-N-A. Hi to Georgia, spelled J-O-R-J-A.
That's just not even trying.
Well, that's the simple way.
Golly, spelled G-A-L-I. And a special shout out to the worst spelled name in the history of names, Kaylee. Yeah. How would you guess she would spell Kaylee?
I don't know. I've never known Kaylee.
Usually it's K-A-Y-L-E-I-G-H is usually how you spell Kaylee, I think.
C-E-I-L-I-D-H.
What?
C-E-I-L-I-D-H.
Well, you got that famous silent D, Lisa.
We'd also like to say hi to the blackest guy in the world named Bruce.
Poor Bruce. You guys gave him so much crap.
We were like, no black guy is named Bruce. He's like,
this
yes,
guy
I
showed
am.
Up with like the Zoo York t-shirt, and he had the, you know, the 50-cent black New York Yankees hat on and the chains and everything. We're like, hey, man, what's your name? He's like, Bruce.
Also, a special hi to the black guy who came through the line who had taken a marker and had drawn on his sunglasses to make them darker.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
And had drawn on his bald head to look like hair. Special shout out to that guy. Special shout out from Psycho Mike to the Scientology dude.
Oh.
Who came through line to give us some videos about Scientology. Yep. And Psycho Mike was wearing a t-shirt that said Scientology is gay and has a shirt of Tom Cruise on the front and very gay and a picture of Travolta on the back. And that man just walked right past it. Didn't even mention.
Yeah,
didn't
say
a word
shivering,
about
it. Man. I was hoping he wouldn't.
This guy was a little bit creepy, by the way. And, you know, from time to time, people will show up and they're very kind. And sometimes they'll bring, you know, like little gifts or cards or something like that, which is always, you know, just so appreciated. We never expect that. And this guy waited till the very, very end. And he showed up and he actually brought teaching materials. He brought DVDs and books and workbooks and videos and the whole deal. And we're like, dude, it's not a sign up. We didn't come to sign up.
He came by me and said, you're not going to be interested in this. Here, Bean. And
it, yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Shout out for the femullet woman who yelled at Bean and I. Just dressed us down, man. She gave us what for. She said, I like your show, but you guys should stop making fun of Jed the Fish. You're digging a really deep karma hole. That's
what
she told us.
It?
A really deep karma hole, which is odd.
We love Jed.
Doc had a fantastic conversation with a listener.
I was sitting next to Doc, and this kid comes up with an Element shirt on, Element Skate Company and Clothing Company, and it says Element across his shirt, and Doc walks up, and without saying hello or anything, goes, what element? Boron? Oxygen? Nitrogen? And the kid, deadpan, looks right at Doc and goes, what the F are you talking about?
And I'm going to save the best for last. I have to give a special shout out to the listener who said to Lisa May, Lisa, I thought you were Asian.
Right. How?
Where did,
ever,
why?
When? Not when.
How come? What's the... I don't get that. I can't get my head around that. I thought Lisa was Asian. I have
funny.
Nothing against Asians, but what made this listener think that you were Asian?
I have no idea. That cracked me up.
I don't even think she likes Chinese food. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense.
But thanks to everybody that came down and tested. It was fantastic. The calendars are still for sale if you want to get those at Best Buy. Thank you. And the proceeds go to charity. So it's a very cool thing. And we're going to take a quick break and come back with Ralph Showbiz Beat now. 7:52, time for Ralph Showbiz Beat. What's going on, Ralph?
Well, Borat, number one at the box office again this weekend.
How about that?
Smoking $29 million.
That's awesome.
The thing is that most films lose about 50% of their earnings in the second week of release. Usually the opening weekend is the one where they make all the money.
Like 99% of them, don't they?
But because Borat was opened in such a small number of theaters in its initial week of release, it expanded to 2,500 theaters this weekend, and it made even more money.
Thank you. I like you. I like sex.
Santa Claus 3 was number two at the box office with almost $17 million. Suckers. Flushed Away was third. Stranger Than Fiction was four. Saw 3. Then Babel, in its debut, made about $5.7 million, made it number six. The Departed, The Return, The Prestige, and A Good Year, rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend.
Ralph, I saw that Babel. Went to see that. I was a big fan of that director's previous, Amoros Sparrows and 21 Grams. It's pretty good.
Yeah, everyone's saying it's real good. A lot of pre-Oscar buzz, they say, about the film as well, saying it might garner some nominations when Oscar time rolls around. So,
my perfect woman shows up in this movie, by the way.
Your perfect woman?
Yes, she has
everything. Mute Asian? Yes.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yes. Japanese, naked, teenage Asian, who's mute. Yes.
Oh, God. Perfect. This is creepy.
There's nothing better.
Perfect.
Got everything.
Speaking of Borat, lots of people who show up in the Borat movie, the unsuspecting regular folks that he interviews and talks with through the course of the film,
right,
are really cheesed off now at producers.
Because they look really bad?
Yes.
Yeah.
And they're all saying they were duped. Duped, sure. I say, into performing into the film.
Oh, really? Were they given lines and told what to say?
No.
No?
No, but they were maybe the producers misrepresented exactly what was going on while they were shooting the film, because Borat would show up and they say, we're shooting a documentary for Kazakhstan. Would you be in it, please?
So I'm guessing that in their minds, they said, it's going to show in Kazakhstan. Who cares what I say?
The guy who runs the driving school who taught Borat how to drive.
Yeah, I like
awesome.
That guy.
He was awesome. He said he was suckered. He was told that there was an immigrant who needed to teach, to learn how to drive.
Right.
And he specializes in a school for immigrant drivers.
Right.
So he didn't think
there was a camera, though. He saw that there was a movie camera in the back seat, right?
Yes. He was told it was being made. A foreign documentary film was being made, and he never thought it would appear anywhere in the United States.
But he comes off really well, I think. Well, he's like a really nice, patient guy.
He's not one of the worst ones.
He's considering suing, as is the car salesman that Borat approaches when he wants a car with a P magnet built into it.
Right, oh, sure.
That guy?
That was
those aren't actual magnets.
He's cheesed off. He said they waved some money in front of his face while he was signing the release, and so he was distracted.
Oh, sure.
By the cash that they gave him, and he did not read the release all the way
through. What about the rodeo dude? Is he upset? Because he comes off really bad.
This article, it doesn't mention the rodeo dude. However, the Behars, the Jewish couple that runs the bed and breakfast,
sure,
they're none too pleased about their presentation in the film
well. They're cockroaches. Come on. Sure.
They did turn into cockroaches, so that's understandable.
Look, Ralph, you know this more than anybody. We all take money and do things that we're embarrassed for. Look at us doing this show every day. Come on.
Absolutely true.
You just got to just suck it up. Just spend the cash and just forget about it.
The car salesman says he thinks his reputation of a dealer of fine vehicles is going to be tarnished because it's implied that he sold Borat an old ice cream truck.
Didn't he?
He did not. He did not.
How did he get it?
Well, here's the thing. They shot all that stuff and then they filmed fictional stuff and wrapped it around the other things.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So it appears the way they edit it that Borat bought the ice cream truck off that guy's lot, but there was no ice cream truck.
Okay,
but
why
that's not where he got it.
But why would that be bad if that's what he chose to buy? Why?
Yeah, he said he only had $700 to spend. I thought it was a pretty good deal, that ice cream truck.
I wanted it.
So a lot of people very angry about the film. What are you going to do, huh?
What about PETA with the bear in the back? What about that?
Oh, is that bear great?
Yeah.
When those kids come to get the ice cream?
Was that your favorite scene, Mike?
The best.
Oh, you hadn't seen it.
Oh, Mike hasn't seen it yet.
That's right.
You know why? Because Mike struggles on every possible level.
Yeah, he's bad.
Yes, he is. He's almost as bad as Kevin Federline.
Well, come on.
Well, not that bad. Apparently, Federline is demanding more money from Britney Spears in their divorce settlement, or he's going to release their homemade honeymoon sex tapes.
Where's the love?
Well, that's nice. The mother of his children.
This according to a friend of Cletus, who told a British tabloid that millions of people would pay to watch this, and Federline is in talks with a company in Arizona about putting out a four-hour sex video.
Oh. Okay.
Thanks, Mike.
I'm good with that.
Well, he says he wants $3 million additional to the settlement, or else he's going to release the tapes.
Oh, $3 million additional? I thought you meant $3 million total.
Well, he's only making a couple million as it is. It'd probably bring up to around $5 million or something total.
He'll still go through that in 2 years.
But insiders speculate he could make upwards to $50 million if he actually released the sex tape.
That's bogus.
So,
would Britney sell more than Pam Anderson's sex tape, do you think?
Oh,
you think this would be the biggest selling one ever?
Oh, yeah.
Probably, yeah.
Oh, yeah. First of all, I think it'd probably be more graphic and more footage.
Yeah.
A lot of that Pam and Tommy video is them vacationing.
Right.
And talking
Yapping.
On boats and stuff and everything. You know, you don't get a lot of the good.
I have a quick clip of him getting mocked going into a show in Chicago.
How dare they?
This is awesome. Listen to these people.
Afterwards, Federline showed up for an after hours party at Cabaret in Chicago.
Oh my God,
they're laughing in his face. In his face, as he was.
That's awesome. And I'd like to make a correction. In the last hour, I talked about Steve McQueen's sunglasses selling at auction.
$650,000.
They only went for $70,000.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that's a big difference. Very different.
Yeah. And yet, $70,000 is way too much for
sunglasses. The report that I got here was obviously incorrect.
Okay.
They better at least be blue blockers then for that kind of cash.
Love my blue blockers. Oh, I miss that guy. I miss those commercials. Today's celebrity birthdays. I forgot to mention earlier today when I was doing that our own Nicole Alvarez celebrates her birthday today.
Oh,
so
happy birthday, Nicole.
I definitely want to wish her a happy
birthday. Boy, she looked great at the calendar sign Saturday. She cleans up good.
She's sexy as hell, that girl.
Yeah. She is.
You know? A lot of radio women. You know why they got into radio?
Yeah.
But Nicole, she could work anywhere. Any strip club. I mean, any venue.
Right.
Joe Mantegna, the actor, is 59 years old today. Whoopi Goldberg celebrates her 51st birthday. What do you get Whoopi Goldberg for a present, I wonder?
Loaded gun? I don't know.
And paint a target on her head?
Take her own life, yeah.
Is that your answer to everything, Kevin?
Just really people
have to commit suicide left and right?
Certain people, yeah. Right. You guys are not with me on that?
Well,
with her?
The thing about Kevin is he's not happy enough if they're out of show business. They have to be dead.
They do.
Come on. She's Whoopi Goldberg.
Chris Noth, Mr. Big from Sex and the City and also from Law and Order. He's 50 years old today. Steve Zahn, one of my favorite actors. It always makes me laugh. That's Steve Zahn. He's good in almost everything he does.
He is great.
I first fell in love with him in That Thing You Do. Remember that movie Tom Hanks made about that band in the 60s? He's great in that. And Jimmy Kimmel, our pal Jimmy, also celebrates his birthday today. Jimmy's 39. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. As they say, the holidays are upon us, and K-Rock's Almost Acoustic Christmas is back for a 2006 edition. We are very excited, as we are every year at this time, to make an announcement that we know you've been waiting for.
We're going to give you a big chunk of the announcement, and then we're going to tell you where you can find out the rest. K-Rock's Almost Acoustic Christmas 2006 is going to be Saturday and Sunday. Two different shows, December 9th and December 10th at the Gibson Amphitheater. That's the one that's formerly known as the Universal Amphitheater.
Okay.
We've had it for many years. Saturday and Sunday, December 9th and December 10th at the Gibson Amphitheater. And
now, that's already great news, by the way, because, you know, there's a temptation with the lineups that we present each year to put it in a bigger place.
Right, exactly.
So if you're lucky enough to get tickets, it's an unbelievable once-in-a-lifetime experience because you get to see those great bands in such a small place as the Gibson Amphitheater.
Oh,
makes
man.
An amazing
Wait, hang
show.
Hang on. The music stopped. Okay. now we can go again.
All right.
Here's the deal on the bands. If you want to know who's playing, we're going to do it a little bit different this time. And it's going to reward those of you who listen to K-Rock a lot because every hour on the hour today, starting at 8 o'clock, a half hour from now, we're going to give you another band that's playing the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2006.
You big fat tease.
So at 8 o'clock, the first announcement of the band this morning in a half hour. Then at 9 o'clock, the second band. 10 o'clock, the third band.
Wait, wow. Hold on a second. Hold
Throughout
on a second.
The day.
Who's playing? I'm sorry, I missed it. Who's on the bill?
We're
playing?
We're not giving the lineup right now. We're going to give it every hour on the hour today. 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock. A new band, another band that's going to be playing night number one, Saturday, December 9th. At the Universal Amphitheater. The benefits for night number one go to the Al Wooten Jr. Heritage Center. This is an alternative for kids in a situation where they might join gangs and they get tutoring and mentoring and career guidance and parental workshops, stuff like that. So the proceeds do go to charity. Night number one, we're going to tell you about all day today.
Okay.
Tomorrow, we're going to give you tickets to night number one.
Oh.
Wednesday, we're going to tell you the bands are going to be playing night number two.
Okay.
And Thursday, tickets for that night. That makes sense?
Got it.
Yeah.
Night number one all day today.
Crystal clear.
Every hour on the hour. And then tomorrow, tickets for night number one. And then Wednesday, night number two. Thursday, tickets for night number two.
Hey, this isn't a stall technique because we haven't lined up any bands yet.
No.
This isn't. I don't have anything to tell you now, but seriously, at 8 o'clock, we're going to have somebody that we're going to be able to tell you about. It's going to be good.
And somebody in the other room's on the phone going, I've got to get a confirmation right now.
Seriously, is there any way they can swing by and play? It's not like that at all.
Nope.
They are
all lined up and ready to go. We're going to roll them out for you all day today, every hour. The hour starting one half hour from right now on the world famous K-Rock.
I love that tape. If you have it handy, Kevin, I'd like to request again Kevin Federline at the nightclub in Chicago because, you know, his world has just collapsed. If you'd have talked to him 2 weeks ago, he would say it couldn't be going any better.
Right?
He's on top of the world. He figured, you know, this was before he knew how badly his album was going to sell. This is when he thought he still was going to have a tour that was going to work out.
Right.
Oh, I don't know. He thought maybe he was married to an ATM. Here's what Kevin Federline's life is like now.
Afterwards, Federline showed up for an after hours party at Cabaret in Chicago.
Oh my god,
awesome.
I love it. Hey Fed, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
What's up everybody? How you doing? Boom ping ping. Listen to what I bring. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Hey, Fed,
yeah.
Those people were clearly mocking you going into the nightclub.
You're haters. You know what I'm saying?
And you also had to give away tickets to that show for free.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like I guess I overestimated how my first album would do. You know what I'm saying? But as I look at it, many artists, you know, their first work, their early work's a little too avant-garde for the general public's palate.
You know
what I'm saying? So now I know that. I'm going to restrain myself in my later work and make it a little more commercially viable. You'll see, you'll see.
Here's another clip from that show in Chicago.
She really loves what I'm doing right now.
Oh, I'm sorry. This is K-Fed talking about Britney.
And she's probably my number one fan. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, together we take over the world.
Yeah, how does that feel right now?
Well, not too good. You know what I'm saying? Now I can express how I really feel.
Oh,
you know what I'm saying? See?
Wait, you weren't expressing how you really felt before?
Nah, man. You know, I'm trying to take care of her feelings.
I
know what I, at first, I thought things, you know, I'm beefing with my wife. I keep that at home. In the public, you know, I'm trying to protect her image.
Oh, you're trying to protect her.
Now that I've jettisoned that fat pig and I've gotten rid of that disgusting slob, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That deep-fried Louisiana bitch, I'm ready to go make mine. You know what I'm saying?
How can you ignore the fact that the places are not selling out, that they have to give away tickets for free, and that this was the concert review in Chicago?
It is the worst show we've ever seen. Literally.
It was awful.
It was the worst show I've ever seen.
How come?
Because he's terrible.
Now that's gotta...
Listen.
That's gotta hurt your feelings a little.
Those square-ass, wonder-bread white bitches don't know. Okay? You know what I'm saying? It's like the early days of NWA and Two Live Crew. The shows got so dangerous.
No.
They were so thuggish.
No.
They were so gangster that people were afraid to show up. And I feel like, you know, that's what's going on with me. People are scared that maybe some violence is gonna pop off any second, you know? Because that's the type of crowd that I draw. Gangster, thugs.
So you're saying that the shows that were canceled due to lack of interest,
people were just
afraid of.
Yeah, it's like Elvis, you know what I'm saying, back in the day. You know what I'm saying?
Because you're too intense.
Some of the Christian towns and everything, they didn't want that. It was scary. It was intimidating to them. You know what I'm saying? Because he was thinking outside the box. He was a thug. I'm a thug. That's how it goes, dog.
But all we're saying is you predicted 500,000 copies of your album in the first week. You sold just over 6,000.
But I'm like Borat, dog. I'm going to get better with the second weeks to come. You know what I'm saying?
I see.
Is that right?
I'm like a snowball. You know what I'm saying? K-Fed, building up momentum as it goes.
K-Fed, I've never heard of a CD only selling 6,000 nationwide after all the press you did.
It's not good.
That's a slap in the face is what it is.
You know, in the music industry, it's not what they call good.
Right.
No,
like I
no
said,
it's not.
I'll rework it. You know what I'm saying? And like I said, I'll try to make things a little less artistic. I understand I might have gone a little overboard with the creativity on this one.
You were over people's heads.
Yeah, exactly.
You're too good. That's the problem.
A little avant-garde.
I see. Okay.
All right. Listen, K-Fed, we want to change our focus for a moment here to something else that you said you had in the works. And I don't know if it's true or not, but one of the stories that we heard was that you were going to write an autobiography to show people your roots, where you came from, growing up in Fresno. How did K-Fed get to be K-Fed? Any truth to the rumor you're writing a book?
Right. No, I've already written it. You know what I'm saying? It's in the can. And, you know, it's very confessional. You know, it's introspective.
Mm-hmm.
And, I think people are interested in how a king builds his empire. You know what I'm saying? The beginnings. You know what I'm saying? It's an introspective look on what it was like the early days for me hustling.
K-Fed, have you noticed that everyone to a person, 100% of the country is happy that she dumped your ass?
Nah, dude. You know what I'm saying?
And that would tell me no one's interested in your life.
Listen, white devil, shut your mouth for a second and understand that they're happy that now I can develop myself as an artist without that fat bitch weighing me down.
Because she was holding you back.
Yeah, I'll always be looked at as Britney's husband. You know what I'm saying? But now I can develop as a person on my own. I can get an independent sense of identity.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
What's the name of your autobiography?
Wife Beaters and Cigarettes.
Wife Beaters and Cigarettes. Okay.
Yes, it's like a spontaneous kind of confessional. It's prose. You know, it's much like Jack Kerouac. You know what I'm saying?
Sure, yeah.
Right, that famous author, right.
It's like my diary if I bring it to, you know, the public.
Now, Kevin, I have a CD here. Is this a song or is this part?
I've gotten the first three chapters are done on the audiobook, book on tape.
Oh, so you, this is you reading your own work.
Yeah, you know, I had a ghostwriter and we figured, you know, I ghostwrite the book, you know what I'm saying?
Sure.
And so, like, I had a ghostwriter, we finished it up, you know, a couple months ago. Now I've actually gone in the studio at the Chocolate Parlor and the Crunk Factory and I laid down three of the chapters for the audiobook.
Okay.
And I thought I'd send them over to you so you guys can get a taste of what White Beaters and Cigarettes is all a biz out.
Okay, here's a track number whiz on, and it's called Menthols. Menthols, the audiobook.
It was a beautiful day in Fresno, California. I had just finished my last Marlboro Red, and I realized I didn't have any smokes in my rainy day stash beneath my bed. So I cruise into the kitchen where my mom's is cooking me an extra special birthday dinner. I'm like, yo, moms, you got any smokes, ho? No, I don't, honey. I use the last half of my pack of Capris as the candles on your cake. As she says, as she points to the cake on the table. It was a blueberry Pop-Tart with 5 Capris poking out the top. Just outside the kitchen window, I see Billy Joe Jenkins puffing on a smoke. I run outside and ask him if I can bum a cig. He hands me a cigarette and I frantically light it up and start puffing. This was like no other smoke I'd ever had. It was like a cigarette and Altoids rolled into one. From that point on, I only smoked menthols. Right. Plus, I never felt the need to brush my teeth again, since my newly minted cigarettes kept my mouth feeling hella cool. That's how I celebrated my 5th birthday.
5th birthday? Wait a minute, you were 5?
I was a G back then, you know what I'm saying?
You were 5?
That's the life of a hustler, you know what I'm saying? Slanging rocks, doing what I gotta do, hustling. You know, I didn't choose this life. I was born into it. You
sure,
know what I'm saying?
Yeah. All right, chapter 2 is labeled PlayStation.
Word.
Okay, here's chapter 2 of the audiobook.
I'd collected over 30,000 Marlboro miles with all my smoking, and Mom and Dad said I had no ambition. Well, I redeemed these Marlboro miles for a Sony PlayStation, and today was the day it arrived. I was so excited to open up the box and finally bear the fruits of my lung-destroying labor. This was just like Christmas, only without Dad passed out of the strip club with a Santa hat on his boner. The console only came with one game. It was Tomb Raider. Once I started playing, I looked up at Lara Croft, the main character, and I realized something. Damn, that bitch is hurting for a squirtin', you know what I'm saying?
Aww.
Later on that day, I lubed up and shorted out my parents' TV when I covered it with my appendage nectar, you know what I'm saying? Booyakai.
Come on.
Kevin.
Come on.
A little early for appendage nectar, isn't it? Come on.
Aww. We don't need to know about that.
All right.
There's one more chapter, and it's called Life as K-Fed Knows It.
Word.
Kevin Federline's audiobook from Wife Beaters and Cigarettes.
I was finishing my first year in high school, and I was now a grandfather. At age 14, I started to seriously think about what I was going to do with my life. As I sat in front of my family's 10-inch Zenith with illegal cable, I flipped the channels on the screen. Channel 206. What's this? Entertainment Tonight. Damn, it looks like Tom Arnold and Roseanne Barr getting a divorce. What a douchebag he is, man. I mean, you have to be scum to marry some rich and famous woman and take her for all her cash. The whole marriage, all he did was party and goof off while his wife supported him and all his failed endeavors in the entertainment industry. That's straight pathetic, dog. I don't know much, man, but I know I'll never stoop that low.
That's right. That's science right there. Science.
Does that strike you as anything that's happened recently?
No, I don't know what you're talking about.
All right. We're looking forward to the book, K-Fed.
Word Thank to you. Your mother.
It was a beautiful day in Fresno, California. I had just finished my last Marlboro Red, and I realized I didn't have any smokes in my rainy day stash beneath my bed. So I cruise into the kitchen where my mom's is cooking me an extra special birthday dinner. I'm like, yo, moms, you got any smokes, ho? No, I don't, honey. I use the last half of my pack of Capris as the candles on your cake. As she says, as she points to the cake on the table. It was a blueberry Pop-Tart with 5 Capris poking out the top. Just outside the kitchen window, I see Billy Joe Jenkins puffing on a smoke. I run outside and ask him if I can bum a cig. He hands me a cigarette and I frantically light it up and start puffing. This was like no other smoke I'd ever had. It was like a cigarette and Altoids rolled into one. From that point on, I only smoked menthols. Right. Plus, I never felt the need to brush my teeth again, since my newly minted cigarettes kept my mouth feeling hella cool. That's how I celebrated my 5th birthday. I'd collected over 30,000 Marlboro miles with all my smoking, and Mom and Dad said I had no ambition. Well, I redeemed these Marlboro miles for a Sony PlayStation, and today was the day it arrived. I was so excited to open up the box and finally bear the fruits of my lung-destroying labor. This was just like Christmas, only without Dad passed out of the strip club with a Santa hat on his boner. The console only came with one game. It was Tomb Raider. Once I started playing, I looked up at Lara Croft, the main character, and I realized something. Damn, that bitch is hurting for a squirtin', you know what I'm saying?
Aww.
Later on that day, I lubed up and shorted out my parents' TV when I covered it with my appendage nectar, you know what I'm saying? Booyakai. I was finishing my first year in high school, and I was now a grandfather. At age 14, I started to seriously think about what I was going to do with my life. As I sat in front of my family's 10-inch Zenith with illegal cable, I flipped the channels on the screen. Channel 206. What's this? Entertainment Tonight. Damn, it looks like Tom Arnold and Roseanne Barr getting a divorce. What a douchebag he is, man. I mean, you have to be scum to marry some rich and famous woman and take her for all her cash. The whole marriage, all he did was party and goof off while his wife supported him and all his failed endeavors in the entertainment industry. That's straight pathetic, dog. I don't know much, man, but I know I'll never stoop that low.
Remember that dude that wrecked that Ferrari that was worth $1 million? Remember that story?
Oh, yeah.
I remember Lightning cried for like a month after that, because that was one of those, it was a very, very limited edition and a very, very expensive car. Not just your average Ferrari, right?
Here's a little clip of the news from that.
The driver of a Ferrari, reportedly traveling up to 200 miles an hour, apparently lost control of his vehicle and slammed into a utility pole. The car was torn in two. It happened on the Pacific Coast Highway in West Malibu, California. Highway Patrol closed the road for hours for accident reconstruction. Debris was scattered for quite a ways. The car was reportedly worth up to $1 million.
Oh. Wow.
Yeah, Enzo Ferrari, and it's worth, according to the article in the newspaper, $1.2 million.
Oh, my God.
And if I remember at the time, there were only 400 of them in the world. This guy wrecked one of them, and he just got sentenced. I guess he worked out a deal this weekend. He's doing a year. He's going to do a year in prison for it.
That's awesome. Apparently, according to Lightning, you have to be invited by Ferrari to buy this car.
Really?
They have to. Hey, I want your car. Nope. Sorry, you're not invited.
Oh.
I guess the Griffith Observatory is running it.
Remember, he made up some sort of BS story. Lisa, you remember this, that he wasn't really driving. He said somebody else was driving, but then they got up and left. And the whole thing was just sketchy. And then they found out that he had all these other charges against him. And I think that's what he's going to jail for, is having a gun illegally, and embezzlement and things like that. But it was the accident that got him into trouble. And you know, you walk away from that crash and go, dude, that's a $1 million car wrapped around a telephone pole.
You have to say oops. That has to be the biggest oops, and that's the feeling that we know you, the fine K-Rock audience, has felt on occasion. That oops, that is a bigger oops than, I mean, the word just doesn't do it justice.
Yeah,
you screwed up huge, and just saying oops is somehow an understatement,
because you know you can never repay
whoever
it is that you broke.
So we're going to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067 if you have damaged something incredibly expensive. I'm sure you saw the Steve Wynn story that came out of Las Vegas. He had a painting by Pablo Picasso, who, by the way, blows.
Oh,
and it was apparently it was a painting of his 21-year-old mistress.
Okay.
And it's called Le Rêve, which is French for the dream. And he had sold it the day before this happened for $139 million.
Oh, God.
And he, apparently, who, as you know, has trouble with his vision, was gesturing wildly to somebody when he was standing near the picture and swung his elbow around and poked a hole the size of a dollar coin.
Oh, my God.
In the painting that's $139 million. That's bad, right?
What do you
do?
I mean, is it an oops moment. Is it ruined? Is it worthless?
He's getting it fixed, apparently, but I'm sure he can't. I'm sure he's going to have to come down on the price.
He's got to discount it a little.
I'm sure
he
called the guy. He's owned the painting for 20 years. He bought it for almost $50 million back in the 80s. So he finally decided to sell it. Steve Wynn runs the Wynn Casino out there in Las Vegas, which is where the incident was, where the painting is. And he has one of the great art collections in the world. So he sold it, then put a hole in it, then called the guy back and said, look, I put a hole in your painting and you don't have to buy it now. So the guy didn't. Basically, Steve Wynn took it back. And I just read this weekend, he just had the guy come in to start working on the repair, and it's going to cost $85,000 to repair the canvas.
Wow.
And of course, it'll never be. I mean, it'll look good. I'm sure those guys are real good at what they do. But you have to imagine that that's going to impact the worth of it.
Yeah, like you can't hide those marks in the stupid Picasso, for God's sakes, with all those ridiculous lines.
There are a lot of people who are big Picasso fans.
I know,
but
I'm not one. But here's the deal.
$85,000 just to repair the painting. That's a boo-boo right there.
According to people who were there, Steve Wynn said, oh, shite. Look what I've done. So that's bad news. So we're going to take some phone calls next. 1-800-520-1067. If you had one of these moments, an oh shite moment, as we like to call it, and you want to call us, 1-800-520-1067. We already have some fantastic ones on hold, and we'll get to those calls next. All right, we're talking about people who have ruined very expensive things. Steve Wynn was trying to sell a painting, did sell a painting, a Picasso, for $139 million, and then the next day stuck his elbow through it. And
thank God he's the one who did
That's what he said. Thank God I'm the one who did it, because it's his money, you know, that he would be ruining.
I remember seeing him when we did that singles party last February at the Wynn, which, by the way, still the best hotel I've ever stayed at in Las Vegas.
Absolutely.
I love that place. Beautiful. But I got the opportunity. I didn't speak with him, but Mr. Wynn walked right by me when I was down there in the lobby, and he's, you know, got his dogs with him and stuff, and he's, I guess, legally blind. So he just, you know, just misidentified how much space was between him and his $140 million painting, I guess.
That's painful. All right, let's go to Robert in Irvine. Good morning, Robert.
Oh, good morning, Kevin and Bean. Good morning, Mistress Lisa.
Hi, Robert.
And we think that this is even going to be more interesting because Steve Wynn can afford
yes.
to ruin that. But those
he
of
can
us,
torch that painting and he'd be fine. But the rest of us, no, not so much.
Right. So, Robert, what did you do?
Oh, you know, I'm 17 at the time. Out on family reunion, out on my cousin's yacht. We're out in the New York Harbor. 73-foot sailboat. Mm-hmm. I paid like $5-6 million for the thing. Decides to let me drive.
Right.
Bad idea. Bad idea.
What happened?
Mess it around, blow out the engine.
You blew out the engine on your cousin's yacht?
$163,000 worth of
damage. Oh, no.
How did you do that? I mean, what can you possibly do? I mean, you didn't throw it into reverse or something. What did you do?
Messing around with the throttle on it, on, off, on, off, on, off.
Nice. Oh, just being an a-hole. I like it. Hey, your cousin had that coming.
Yeah, well, hey, you know, you don't give the keys to a 17-year-old. You should know that.
Exactly.
Thank you, Robert, for the call. All right, let's go to Jeremy, who is calling from Laguna Beach. Good morning, Jeremy.
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Good, thanks.
Hey, Jeremy.
What did you ruin?
Oh, I came home late one night from work, and my wife was sleeping. And in the middle of the night, my 3-year-old son woke up and drew over all over my father-in-law's $250,000 oil painting.
Oh no!
Your it's father a Magnum 44 ink marker.
So it's not just your father; it's your father-in-law. It's her father, and it's a $250,000 painting. And your son drew on it.
Yeah, he paid $500 for it, and then the artist exploded and went huge, and now it's worth $250,000.
Well, it was.
Well, it was. What's it worth now?
Crap!
Thank you for the call.
God,
that hurts. All right, let's go to Bruce in Calabasas. Good morning, Bruce. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
How's it going?
Good.
Hey,
thank
Bruce.
You.
Hey, Bruce. You're not a black guy, are you?
A white guy?
A black guy? Are you black? We met a black guy named Bruce at the calendar sighting.
In fact, I'm about as white as I get.
Okay. That makes more sense.
We're telling the guy in Tustin he's a black guy. We have no black guys named Bruce. That's just
that's funny. I guess that's coincidental.
Yeah. All right. So tell us what you ruined.
I was backing my dad's Camaro out of the driveway and hit a Rolls-Royce Corniche.
You hit a Rolls-Royce Corniche?
What are those worth?
Well, back in 1970s, I don't know, close to 100 grand, which...
Wow. You
know. Oh, my God.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a little weird. And
was it your dad's Rolls-Royce or was it someone else's Rolls-Royce?
It was, it's my dad's friend who happened to be our insurance agent.
Oh, well, that's fortunate luck.
Well, he charges too much for insurance if he can afford that car.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, well, you know, 1976 Camaro and...
And a Rolls-Royce. I love that.
But his rates went up.
That's one of those things where as soon as you hear the sound, you go, oops.
Yeah, no kidding.
That's
and
not
you try
good.
To figure out how to blame it on someone else rather than tell your dad that you're the one who did it.
Lisa in Carson, good morning.
Hi, Kevin and Bean. Hi, Lisa May.
Hi, Lisa.
What did you break that was expensive?
When I got engaged, my boyfriend, who's now my husband, gave me his grandmother's engagement ring, which wasn't just any engagement ring. It was a 4-carat vintage Cartier engagement ring.
Oh my God.
It had also been his mother's, and it was a little bit big for my finger, so it would spin. And one day I was at my office trying to program my Palm Pilot, and I got really frustrated, and I slammed it down on my desk. And when I raised my hand, I noticed there was a little crack on the surface of the center stone.
Oh, no. What was it worth?
Well, the whole ring altogether was worth like 100 and some change. But the stone in the middle was $80,000.
$80,000.
And so, of course, I freaked out and, you know, I bolted across the street. There was, at the time, I worked near South Coast Plaza, and there was a Cartier in the mall.
Right.
So I went across the street and I showed the guy my ring, and he said, well, you know, I'm really sorry to tell you this, but, you know, you can't glue a diamond back together. You know?
Yeah.
Rude.
There is that.
So I had to go, of course, home and tell him. And he was like, well, don't worry, sweetie. We have insurance. It's fine. And unfortunately, he neglected to tell me that he was going to open his big mouth and tell his mother, who 5 years later to this day refers to me as the girl who broke my mother's ring.
Oh, nice.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
You'll never get over that.
I see her.
Oh, you're screwed.
Every time I see her, she'll be like, he should never buy you any jewelry. Like when we buy a new car, she would immediately say,
you're kidding. Is she serious about it?
She's very upset. Yeah.
Oh,
like,
bitch.
The big anger of her life.
Yeah.
I'm really surprised, by the way. I didn't know that you could crack a diamond. I thought diamonds are some of the hardest substances on earth. It seems like it'd be very, very difficult to do that.
They are. They're 10 on the Mohs scale, but you can crack them. And usually people, like, you know, when they're setting them, jewelers will crack them or put small chips in them. It's very unusual
about that?
To have a person.
It's so much worse, though, than the 80,000 that it was his grandmother.
That's
the part where you were screwed, Lisa. All right, thanks for the call. Let's take one more. I find this hard to believe, but let's go to Casey in Anaheim. Hi there.
What's up? No, this is the honest to God truth.
All right, tell us about your
grandma. Don't lie to Kevin and B, man. Bad things will happen to you.
Okay, you know how old people, especially your grandparents, have nice rooms in the house that you're not allowed to go into?
Sure, yeah.
Right. Of course.
Well, I threw a ball in the house, and I hit a vase that came from Buckingham Palace that was worth a little over $3 million. I was 10 years old, and the best part of it was, after I broke it, I swept it up and threw it away so I wouldn't get in trouble.
So that happened.
Yeah, that happened. And I basically didn't see the light of day for about a good 5 years.
How long did it take when your grandma came home to notice that the $3 million vase from Buckingham Palace was missing?
It took her... It wasn't a room she went in a lot, except for when she cleaned it.
Right.
It was about a week later, and all eyes were on me.
Dude, you should have just said, I don't know.
Don't look at me.
That's what I did, but it didn't work. Yeah. I'm the only grandkid. I'm only the only kid in the house.
$3 million.
Yeah.
Was it
and
insured?
And you threw it away.
Was it insured? Was it insured, Casey?
Nah, I don't think so.
Excellent.
Yes.
That is unbelievable. Had your grandparents or somebody bought that, or was it given to them?
She bought it when she went to Buckingham Palace back in, like, maybe the late 40s, early 50s for, you know, next to nothing, and then it just became... Very, very rare over the next, 50 years?
Awesome.
Fantastic.
That's a retirement.
And it ended up in a pile of dirt. Nice work, Casey.
You're the man.
Thanks for calling.
Speaking of the weekend.
E-A-G-L-E-S. Yeah.
Yeah, I've been drunk for about 78 hours. I've done the math. It was a long, drunken weekend for me of all good things. First of all, I avoided you two clowns because I wasn't at the Christmas signing, the Christmas calendar signing, whatever you signed.
Calendar.
And we missed you, by the way. I'm sorry to hear you say how happy you were not to be there, but we missed you, and there were a lot of people who were disappointed that you weren't there, but we did have a cardboard stand-up of Ralph that a lot of people got their picture taken with, and it was very cool.
I heard horrible things were done to it.
That's correct, yes.
Because I had a wedding this weekend to go to, and my best friend got married, and I was the best man, so that involved heavy drinking for 48 hours. And then the Eagles game on Sunday was more heavy drinking. And then they won for a change, which was reason for celebrations. There was more heavy drinking.
And they won big, and they looked great.
Well, against the Redskins. You know.
Well, hey, man, listen, we were just hoping for a win. You walk through the halls and slap people when they lose.
Well, and rightly so. But anybody could beat the Redskins.
I was like, yes, the Eagles won. Woo!
Oh, except for Dallas. That's right. I forgot.
It was a fantastic football weekend with some upsets and some enormous come-from-behind victories, and I guess the highest-scoring NFL game in years. And I want to thank the new K-Rock Sports guy for being on and keeping it all in sharp focus for us, because we really do appreciate the good work he's doing.
The weekend, as I mentioned, I was at a wedding, and the bride and groom are both actors, and so there were some actor types who were invited to the wedding.
Right.
Michael Emerson, who plays Ben, leader of the others on The Lost.
Dude.
Very nice guy. Very pleasant. Hung out with him.
It's kind of hard not to kind of hate him, though, isn't it?
He put me in a tank underwater, apparently, for a while, and had some girl come in and feed me sandwiches, which I thought was odd.
Did you have surgery on him?
I did. I had to save his life. I took a tumor off his neck.
That's odd.
And then I met the lovely Rebecca Romijn and her fiancé, Jerry O'Connell.
Oh.
How about that? Could not have met a lovelier, nicer couple. And Jerry O'Connell, by the way, actually listens to us on the way in the drive into Crossing Jordan. That show that he does.
Just being nice to you.
And I hope he knows he doesn't deserve Rebecca Romijn, but it's not his fault because nobody does.
I thought that too until I hung out with him. Never met a nicer guy on the planet than Jerry O'Connell. Could not have been nicer.
And he's buff.
And he's buff and he's a good looking fella and they're a lovely couple and they absolutely deserve each other and I wish them much happiness.
How come Mike always has to point out the buffness of the guys?
Well, Jerry's body has... He has transformed himself.
Fine, but
unlike anybody else in Hollywood. He was the pudgy kid in Stand By Me.
I expect a girl to bring that up is all I'm saying.
And he has made himself a totally buff dude.
Okay.
To his credit.
All right.
So,
you want to date him?
I'm just saying, very nice guy. He deserved. I didn't think anyone deserved Rebecca Romijn either, but Jerry does. They're a lovely
couple. That's clearly gay.
No, it's not. So let's take a look at the weekend's top movies at the box office, shall we? Borat. Made another $29 million this weekend on top of its $26 million from last weekend.
That's awesome.
It's on pace to break the $100 million mark by Thanksgiving, they speculate.
Wow.
Not too sure.
Thank you. I like you. I like sex.
And you like money, too, Borat, apparently.
No kidding.
The Santa Claus 3, the Escape Clause, can they get any more clever? was number 2 at the box office, $17 million.
Do you understand, Ralph, that he has a snow globe, and if he holds the snow globe in his hands and wishes that he was never Santa and says it out loud, then everything goes back and changes and he's no longer Santa. Are you aware of that?
How do you know that much about this movie as it is, by the way?
Took my,
Kevin saw it, remember?
My twins. I took my twins.
Yeah.
That's right.
It's bad. Yeah.
The Flushed Away was 3rd. Stranger Than Fiction in its debut. The Newell Ferrell movie only made $14 million, made it number 4 this weekend. I thought that would open bigger.
I did too.
The Saw 3 was number 5. The Babel was 6. The Departed was 7. The Return was 8. The Prestige was 9. The A Good Year was 10. Everything starts with the. Borat, this thing's awesome. Greatest movie I've seen all year long, but not everyone is very happy. Some of the people who show up in the film are starting to get a little cranky. Remember the guy who was the driving instructor?
Oh, yeah.
He says that he was lied to. They told him they were making a documentary for Kazakhstan, and they only gave him $500 to sign his release, and he signed it, and he's cheesed off.
Because why? He didn't look bad, did he?
He says it makes him look bad.
Or is it that they didn't pay him enough?
Well, that's part of it, too.
But Borat says, we need to stop that woman so I can make sexy time with her. And he says, no, we can't do that here. He looked fine to me.
I don't care what I signed. I know what they did to me, and it's not fair, he said. Borat has not heard the end of me.
Oh, you're a driving instructor. Get over it.
The guy who sold him the, or looked like he sold him the ice cream truck.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
The car salesman.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. He only got $150 to sign his release. He was really cheesed off.
Wow.
$150, and the movie grossed $26 million in 3 days? Everyone's all there smiling at our expense, he said. So he wants a little more money, it sounds like to me. So I'm thinking there's some lawsuits in Sacha Baron Cohen's future.
He's had some, even from Kazakhstan, for a long time.
Yep.
Isn't it interesting, though, that the guy who looks worse than anyone in the movie, the guy who's hoping that one day in this country we hang homosexuals, he's not threatening to sue. Isn't it interesting that he's standing by his appearance in the movie?
I got no problem with that.
He's fine with that.
Shave that damn mustache. You look like one of them.
That was one of the great moments in movie cinema history for me, by the way, was that exchange with that particular guy. You just it's one of those moments where you sit there and go, I can't believe this is real. I can't believe I'm seeing it. I can't believe this is happening.
Yeah, pretty magic. Speaking of homosexuals, Elton John has come forward and says he thinks that organized religion should be banned.
All organized religion?
Yep.
Everyone.
Well, they're trying to ban him.
Exactly. I would ban religion completely, he said, even though there are some wonderful things about it. But religion has always tried to turn hatred towards gay people. It turns people into hateful lemmings.
That's clearly gay.
The hateful lemmings, by the way, also added to a Christa Christmas.
Oh, no, we're not allowed to announce it yet until after the news. I'm
all
sorry.
All right, well, yeah. 9 o'clock, you'll hear hateful lemmings just added to the line. I guess he's got a point, you know?
Sure.
If you're a gay guy, religion really isn't your friend.
However, there has been a lot
of bad things done in the name of religion.
But there are a lot of people who are religious and gay, I think.
I think so, too. Yeah.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
But not Elton John.
Not Elton. No.
Gay.
Congratulations to Tobey Maguire. He is celebrating the birth of his first baby. He is Tobey and his fiancée Jennifer Meyer are celebrating their birth of their first child. A baby girl came into this world at Cedars-Sinai Hospital here in Los Angeles on Saturday. So congratulations to those two.
Does he pass down the ability to shoot spiderwebs out of his wrist to her?
Yes, he does.
He does, okay.
She was. She came out. And she immediately climbed up the wall of the operating room.
I like it.
It was very impressive. Cool. And sad news if you're like me and you're a fan of the Fox legal drama Justice, starring our pal, that guy from Alias.
Right. That is our pal, that guy from Alias.
Yes.
Victor Garber.
Victor Garber.
That guy, yeah.
Apparently, it has been pulled from the Fox schedule due to failing ratings.
Wow. Yeah. I could have enjoyed that show.
I kind of seen that one coming, though.
Really?
We knew it was teetering.
However, ABC's What About Brian just got picked up for a full season, so there's reason to rejoice.
Well, the question has not been answered yet. What About Brian?
What About Brian making it official now that ABC has the most TV shows for an entire season that nobody's watching? All these fictional, made-up shows. What About Brian? Sons and Daughters.
I watch
Uncles
What About
and
Brian.
Nephews.
Of course you do.
I'm sure you do, Lisa.
Stevie's Playhouse. Hey, Cliff and Jim, go to the gym. What the hell? ABC is loaded. The schedule's loaded with shows that only Lisa Mae watches.
Cliff and Jim on Wednesday nights. That's a good show.
Yeah, they go to the gym every week and they work out. They do sit-ups together. It's the entire half hour. Today's celebrity birthdays: Chris Noth, who played Mr. Big on Sex and the City. He's currently can be seen on Life and Style CSU.
That's it.
That's the name.
What the hell's that show?
That's it.
Law and Order.
Law and Order. That's it. Told you it was a long weekend. He's 50 years old today. Steve Zahn, one of my favorite actors, 38 years old today. Whoopi Goldberg, Oscar-winning actress for her role as Eddie, the coach of the basketball team that goes out there.
That was her movie, but I believe she won for Ghost.
She won for Eddie?
She didn't win for Eddie. She was ripped off.
She got nothing for Eddie.
That's a shame. She's 51 years old today. Joe Mantegna is 59 years old today. Jimmy Kimmel, our pal Jimmy Kimmel.
Let's see, how shall I put this? You're gay.
No, Jimmy's not gay. He's 39 years old today. And our own Nicole Alvarez from K-Rock, our own jock. She's a jock, right?
Yeah.
She's a jock.
Yeah, sure.
She was there on the calendar signing? How'd she look?
She looked good.
Fantastic. Better than ever.
Did she ask about me?
She walked up.
Did she sidle up to my standee at all and rub up against it?
No.
She walked up to Psycho Mike and he said, "Nice rack!"
I never knew she had such big boobs because she dresses like a roadie for Metallica most of the time. So she's got like 11 layers on, like thermals.
Right.
She showed up in this low cut like V-neck, and I was like, "Oh my god, look at your big, huge jobs! Those are great."
If nothing else, you're subtle, Mike.
Yes, he is.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
So with all the excitement of K-Rock's Almost Acoustic Christmas 2006, we're also happy that we announced earlier today that our new Christmas CD, Holidays 2006, is going to be called Kevin Amin's Super Christmas. It comes out 1 week from tomorrow at all participating Southern California Best Buy stores.
Come on, B, give a little oomph, will you?
When you're Kevin Amin's Super Christmas.
There we go.
Is that what you're looking for?
Much better.
Now, Ralph, you're the comic book geek on the show. How were Kevin and Bean and the other members of the morning show staff, how were we turned into superheroes? What's the story here?
Well, we live in a comic book world these days. You know, you've got Superman Returns came out this year, the X-Men, a big movie franchise, the Spider-Man movies couldn't be bigger. Over on NBC, you've got heroes with regular people gaining superpowers, and we just thought it was appropriate this year for the theme to be, what would happen if the Kevin and Bean show cast developed superpowers and became superheroes?
What do you mean, if?
Kevin actually has his powers.
Thank you.
Kevin has the power to grow his head to an enormous size while his brain shrinks in an inverse proportion to the size of his brain. That's one of the powers of Special K, which is his superhero code name.
Tell me about Beanbot. I have a clip from Beanbot. You want to play it or you want to set it up?
Well, I just want to tell you that the premise is, what if the cast of the morning show all had superpowers? And then what happens if Santa Claus gets into some trouble, and due to some legal difficulties of his own making, he gets busted for drunk slaying, a la Mel Gibson.
Right.
He runs into some troubles, and Christmas may not come this year without the intervention of a superhero team, and the only ones really available to help him are those of us here on the morning show.
How about that?
Yeah.
So we present for you Beanbot.
Today, Bean Baxter fights for Toast, Hello Kitty, and the freedom to blog via remote control in the form of the bombastic Beanbot.
From his island all alone, he controls his robot clone. It's the Beanbot.
Yeah, Bean's the only superhero who doesn't actually fight crime. He sits in his house and remote controls a robot who does all that for him.
So it's not just Kevin Bean's Super Christmas, 35 great new tracks available for only $6.99 at Best Buy starting a week from tomorrow. It's not just that. What you're saying is it's a classic struggle between good and evil. That's
exactly
what's going on here.
It's you guys coming to the rescue to save Christmas for all the kids.
Aren't we great?
You guys are great.
Also, we have bands that play on K-Rock. We always do this every year. We have them play Christmas songs. Papa Roach does Not Coming Home.
I'm not coming home. Not coming home. This Christmas I am all alone. I'm not coming home.
Sounds pretty good, right?
Yeah, sure does. I like that.
So that's Papa Roach. We also have Jurassic 5. We have Snow Patrol. We have a bunch of different bands. We have Steve-O doing a nice little Christmas piece for us this year.
Do not pour female reindeer urine all over yourself.
Okay, there you go. That's all you get from that.
That's a good advice for all the kids at Christmas time.
She Wants Revenge does Hazy Shade of Winter.
Look around, place a frown on the sky. There's a hazy shade of winter.
Come on.
That's awesome.
They've got a sound, don't they?
I love that song, and that's a great version of it.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It's a great song. We also have Will Ferrell as Ricky Bobby on this year's Kevin Amin Christmas CD.
But dear little baby Jesus, happy birthday to you on this glorious day. I mean, it's a great day. It's your birthday. Hey, it's your birthday. You probably want to go to Vegas and party with your buddies. But you're just a baby. You can't drive a car. But you could hire a limo service.
That's true. Get around that way. There is that. So he's on Kevin and Bean's Super Christmas. And finally, a clip about Lisa May, who, of course, is the pet parent.
She is the pet parent.
Bitten by a radioactive shih tzu late at night. She transformed to canine form for animals she fights. She talks to dogs. She talks to cats. When you pass, she may sniff your ass.
She might. She's the pet parent.
That's the great Greenbrier Lane, who's just one of the best bands out there, who always does tremendous work for us. And again, this year on Kevin and Bean Super Christmas, they've actually have and Ralph, I guess, did you have something to do with the writing of the superhero themes for each of us?
Actually, I came up with the origins for each of the superheroes that the cast becomes. I created with the characters along with Paul Lee, who did an amazing job with our artwork this year.
Oh yeah,
the cover and also on the inside, there's a fold-out mini poster of all of us in our comic book superhero costumes, and all of those costumes and the characters were designed by a very talented comic book artist. A guy who really works in comic books. He does work for DC and Marvel.
That's great.
The big ones. He created all of our superheroes this year. So along with him, I came up with all the characters, and then Greenbrier Lane wrote a theme song for each and every one of us.
Is it possible, for us to bang the cartoon Lisa? Because the cartoon Lisa is pretty hot.
The cartoon Alex.
Yes.
Yeah, the cartoon
super
Alex.
Her character being super whore.
Yeah, she might be the one.
Spectacular, man. You just, yes. Oh, yeah.
You just what, Ralph? You just what?
Yeah, no.
Super whore!
Wherever she goes, someone she...
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you, the super whore.
All right, so here's the deal. You can go to krock.com and you can see the artwork we're talking about. You can hear a bunch of clips from the CD, but it will sell out. Remember last year, guys?
Oh, instant sellout.
Sold out so fast.
Before
I never even got a copy.
Before we released it, it sold out.
It was crazy. It's a limited edition release every year that we do it, and this year is going to be no exception. It's going to be available at Southern California Best Buy stores next Tuesday. It's only $6.99, and once again, the proceeds this year will go to charity. But Kevin and Bean's Super Christmas, definitely something you want to stop by and pick up as soon as you can.
Taking Back Sunday, Jurassic 5, Hinder, Snow Patrol, Plus 44, bunch of great music on it. 35 tracks for $6.99.
Angels and Airwaves.
Angels
a great
and
song
Airwaves
on there, too, yeah.
Right, exactly. So that is 1 week from tomorrow on the world-famous K-Rock. I'd like to say hi to a few people that we met over the weekend in Tustin. We were down there at the Best Buy. Thank you. At the marketplace in Tustin, and a lot of really great people come through. We have really good fans.
We have good listeners.
It's really amazing.
Yeah.
And by the way, this is Bean speaking. You know, I love the Yellowtail. I had no idea there were so many Asians down there in Tustin. It was
Bean was going crazy.
I may move there.
It was like down, boy, down. I'd like to say hi to the blackest person in the world named Bruce. That struck us as a little funny, because black guys aren't named Bruce, are they?
Hardly
ever. You don't find many of them, no.
I'd like to say hi to Kaylee, who spells her name C-E-I-L-I-D-H. Kaylee.
It is Gaelic is what it is.
It's gay
really?
Is what it is. Don't be ridiculous.
That's terrible.
I think it's one of those, it's a traditional Scottish name, I think. It's
okay,
one
but
of those that has probably been around for thousands of years.
I don't care if it's spelled C-E-I-L-I-D-H. I care that she pronounces it Kaylee.
So you want her name to be Silida?
Yes, because that's how it's spelled. Yes. I'd also like to make fun of the guy who couldn't get Bean's name right. There was a guy trying to take a picture of Bean. And by the way, we had name tags on.
Yeah.
Right.
And Bean is not a hard name.
He had his camera up, and Bean was not paying attention, and he was yelling, and he said, Kevin! And Bean didn't look, and he said, Ralph! And he didn't look. And then he said, Dave! And he didn't look. And he said, Mike! And then he didn't look. And finally, he just gave up and walked on. I thought, what do we have to do? The Bean was sitting next to me, Kevin.
Yeah.
So you would think maybe we're a team.
Plus, he has the calendar
right?
in his hand. It's
yes.
got our names inside
and pictures,
with our photos.
And he was wearing a name tag. And the guy was shouting every name under the sun. But Bean just was not one of them.
I do think it's funny. It's worth mentioning every time we want to do these. And we really, I mean, we met thousands of people. And by the way, if we haven't mentioned this, how great was Deftones?
Yeah.
And how great was Red Jumpsuit Apparatus? Both put on tremendous shows. The sound was great. It was a great layout. I think everybody could see. It was a really, really cool thing. But as simple as cameras and cell phones are now to operate, it is hysterical how many people can't figure out how to use them.
They're all point and shoot. You just push a button.
Yeah.
That's it. They're all so fully automatic now. And people just cannot get it. We would just start booing at a boo because they take on them, you know, 30 seconds
it didn't
a minute.
Go. Wait, let me do it again.
Yeah.
Wait, okay, wait a minute.
Sakes.
I think the battery's low. Okay, wait.
And finally, the Jed the Fish fan who came up to us and just really gave us what for. She said, I like you guys, kind of. I like some of the stuff you do, but you have to stop making fun of Jed because you're digging a pretty deep karma hole.
And we make fun of Jed in good fun because we're friends with him and we love him and he's an eccentric guy that's fun to talk about, but there's no malice whatsoever involved in how we discussed
Jed. That's not how she saw it, though. She thought it
not
was
at all.
Really mean, and she was very upset with us.
Well, Jed isn't. He came up and talked to you guys a bunch of different
times. Jed's great. We get along with Jed great, but she was very upset on his behalf. So, Jed, are you upset that we make fun of you? Or
I'm not upset whatsoever. I don't know what this horse talking about. Okay. Carol Kidd.
Okay, thank you. I'm just saying you should get checked. You should go to a doctor today. That's what I'm saying.
I would, too.
Why don't you guys warn me?
Dude, it's common knowledge.
It is not common knowledge.
Everyone knows. That's everyone knows, Mike.
That's why none of us kiss him. What? Among other reasons.
Well,
Mike, it may take a few days for the sores to start appearing, so you really should go as soon as possible.
Should I just soak myself in turpentine?
Abreva, dude. Abreva.
Time for Kevin and Beans.
What do you do, nephew?
1-800-520-1067 is the number. You get on the air, you get a prize.
Ralph, at the calendar signing on Saturday in Tustin, I tried to pull off "What It Do, Baby Boo" to one of the listeners or the girls that came through the line, and I was roundly mocked for being too white to even try it.
Well, you sound like Dudley Do-Right when you try that stuff. That's the problem.
What it do, baby boo?
All right, Mondays are awesome because we unveil a new prize for the week, and check this out. I think you'll be very happy. It's a ValSurf snowboard designed by Never Summer and a pair of passes to Ski Dazzle 2006. You know, it's the world's largest consumer ski and snowboard show, and it starts at the Los Angeles Convention Center this Thursday the 16th through the 19th. That's your prize for Kevin and Beans. What it do, nephew?
Now I'm starting to buy that there's some snow on the way. This morning it was a little nip in the air when we came into work.
Yep.
It wasn't 100 when we came in?
Exactly. I'm thinking maybe there will be some snow this season. Starting to look forward to it.
Frank in West Hills. Good morning.
Morning, guys. How you doing? What it do, nephew?
What it do?
What it do, Frank?
How you doing, Lisa?
Good.
Okay, so up to yesterday, I had to picture that bean surgery of having his tear duct with the little wire sticking out.
Yeah, tube that was sticking out of his head.
Yeah, so as of yesterday, I was able to see that for my own eyes. We went and watched football yesterday, and we were all sitting around a table eating whatever we were eating and drinking. And a buddy of mine had that surgery done. He went to sneeze, and he grabbed his nose to block the sneeze, and these two little wires popped out of his eyes.
Isn't that just...
Dude, it was so awful. I was almost all of my lunch that I was eating. It was so bad.
Did you have this song at the standby?
He's that guy with the tube in his eye. He's Bean Baxter.
Tube.
Now it's not only Bean. I like that.
It came out. They were hanging right by the nose. They looked like two pieces of
I think we've heard enough.
Glasses.
Yep, heard enough. Yeah. Thank you. Thanks for calling.
Looks like some sort of pasta, like vermicelli or something coming out of his eye.
Yeah, Ralph saw that, and I've never seen him as wigged out as he was that morning. My tube popped out of my eye.
If he had chopped his arm off, I wouldn't have been as grossed out as seeing that tube.
I would like to thank our phone screener, Dave the King of Mexico, for writing up Buddy's tear ducts tube pooped out. That's good news right there.
Pooped out.
It's a whole different thing. Popped has two P's, Dave. All right, Rebecca in Norwalk. Good morning.
Oh, hey, guys. It's Rebecca in Norwalk. What a do, nephew.
What a do, baby boo.
Rebecca.
I just wanted to give you an update that I heard about the Tyra Banks show on Wednesday.
Please.
Yes.
She's doing a special on thongs. She's going to wear underwear draped all over her body, and everybody in the audience is only going to wear underwear.
Now we're talking. Let's not applaud that too soon. Have you seen her audiences? Yeah. They're not all
not what you want.
Underwater.
Well, I will tell you that this is Bean speaking, and I'm the one with the unnatural love for Tyra. And I don't, strangely, don't really watch her talk show all that much.
Because it's horrible.
But when I heard all the talk about how much weight she had gained, I said, I've got to tune in and see this. So I watched one last week when she had medical oddity freak shows on. And she looked fantastic. She still looked great.
That was The Insider, by the way. That was not her show.
This was Tyra.
She's not going to wear a thong, by the way, because she's notorious for covering her ass. She never shows it. She always puts some sort of sarong around herself so you can't see her giant dimpled ass.
I would like to see her in her underwear is what I'm saying.
It's her panty party. That's all we have. All right, thank you for the call. We need a shorter clip of that song. All right, let's begin with, let's go to John in Lakewood.
We're starting over, apparently. Wow. Kevin just went to the Wayback Machine.
John, hi.
Good morning, Kevin Bean, Lisa May.
Hi, John.
How you guys doing
good,
today?
Good, what's going on?
John, we're all starting right, with you, so make it good.
All right, let me start.
You're our first call of the whole day.
People should not be allowed to drive and talk on the cell phone at once. It's like when they have the phone up to their ear, they cannot steer a steering wheel or pay attention to the road.
Some people
they
can.
They should be
but,
hands-free.
But
Come
a lot
on.
Of people can't.
No, they should at least be hands-free.
My point is it should be at least be hands-free. But my point's always been that it's the conversation people are having that really distracts them from operating the car.
True.
Even more so than the actual mechanics of having the phone held to their face.
Yeah, true.
Because people's minds wander and they start getting involved in their conversation. I was involved with someone on the freeway who was going about 35 miles an hour in one of the lanes. I said they must be breaking down or something. But someone was just having a conversation and their mind was completely off the accelerator.
I think they're changing the laws so that it has to be hands-free at some point.
They've already done it. But here's what I love about that law, by the way, is they passed the law that requires you to be hands-free in California because they say this is essential. It will save lives. Okay, we're implementing it in a year and a half.
When we get around to it.
We mean it, though. So, John, what happened?
Okay, so Saturday, I was riding my bike down my block, and I was crossing the street, and there was a stop sign there, and someone talking on their cell phone didn't notice the stop sign and ran straight into me and hit me off my bike.
Oh. Nice.
Wow.
Are you all right?
Yeah. I'm all right, yeah. Luckily, they caught the back end of the bike, so I just got blown off. And
by the way, you can... I'm not suggesting in this case that the phone didn't contribute to that driver's carelessness, but, you know, a lot of people run stop signs that aren't on the phone, too. I mean, it does just happen.
I got to think you're paying more attention if you're not distracted by that phone call.
Got to think. Sure, I look at stop signs just as gentle suggestions. More.
I don't think you should be able to talk on the phone at all in a car, hands-free or
really?
Not.
Really?
You shouldn't be able to have a conversation while you're driving.
But some people can do it. Right?
Well, most people can't, I think.
Well,
I mean, you can't eat food. I mean, there's all kinds of laws of things you can't do while you're driving.
You can't
driving.
Eat food when you're driving? That's
no,
not true.
No, you're not supposed to.
Oh, no.
No, you can get pulled
and
over.
Everyone does that.
Wait, that's against the law?
Yeah.
Are you kidding?
No.
Bean actually ate a bowl of cereal in his car.
He really abused the privilege, quite frankly.
He had milk and a spoon and cereal.
It's unbelievable to
That's
me.
Tough. You're driving with your knees at that point.
That's insane.
David in West Covina, what'd it do?
Hey, what'd it do, nephew? Hey, Lisa May.
Hey, David.
I am finding this story hard to believe, but tell me what you saw.
All right. Pretty much I'm scarred for life here. Sister, she's a little overweight. But her friend, she's extremely hot.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Anyways, I was in the backyard, and I was like, okay, well, I see her window. It was nighttime, so her light was on or whatever. And I wanted to go check out her friend, right?
Right.
So I go to the window.
All right, wait, David, let me just see if I've got this straight. It's your sister's in the bedroom.
Yes.
And you're going to peek in there to see if you can see her friend.
The hot friend's in there, too.
Yes.
Okay.
I just wanted
but
to
you have
friend.
To...
She's hot.
But you have to know that there's a chance you're going to see your sister naked, right?
No, well, at this point, I didn't know my sister was, you know.
Now, tell us what you saw. Just let's get to what you saw.
So I see my sister facing the opposite way.
Yeah.
With straps. A strap on, right?
With a strap on.
Something strapped onto her, yes.
And her friend's on her knees.
Oh.
You saw your sister having lesbian sex with her hot girlfriend.
Yes.
With a strap on.
Disgusting.
So score. That happened. Wow. Is that a score?
No.
Yeah.
It's
your
sister.
Just see
the friend.
No.
It is with the sister being the man, the friend's being hot and being a chick. It's hot.
No, that's your sister. You don't want to see your sister with a strap on.
Just exactly. Yeah, cover one eye.
Is that how it works?
Yeah, just look through the other one.
My friend wasn't naked. My sister was.
Yeah, that's
that's a bad deal.
You're just
man.
A sick bastard then, David.
David, have you spoken with your sister about this?
No, I don't think I'm going to.
She doesn't know that you saw her.
No way.
Can we call her?
No, there's no way that I can find her. Nobody knows.
I want to call her and
we
say,
need to break the news.
No wonder your behind is bleeding.
David, you're scarred for life. Are you never going to bring it up?
No.
Oh, David.
She has boyfriends, like... I didn't know she was like that.
Yo, butt ain't made for that!
They weren't having butt sex, Kevin. They're women. Saying. They've got other orifice.
How do you know what they were using? He couldn't tell.
It ain't natural!
That's all I'm saying.
That's a hell of a story right there, David. Thank you very much for
wow.
that. Wow. All right,
wow.
Do we close on that?
Yes, I can't move on after that one.
I want to remind everyone, if you're a late sleeper, as many of you are lucky enough to be, we did make the announcement this morning of K-Rock's Almost Acoustic Christmas 2006. December 9th is night number one. December 10th is night number two at the Gibson Amphitheater. All day long today on K-Rock, we will be revealing a band for you every single hour on the hour. You can keep listening to hear the complete lineup. We unveiled 30 Seconds to Mars at 8 o'clock this morning, Wolf Mother at 9 o'clock, and we're just a few minutes away from band number three for night number one. You can win those tickets tomorrow morning right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. That's when we first start giving those away for December 9th. Keep listening for details on how you can buy yours when they go on sale.
All right. Also, tomorrow morning, besides the tickets for K-Rock's Almost Acoustic Christmas Night number one, we have Kevin Amin's Super Christmas. We'll tell you a little bit more about that, play some more clips for you. If you haven't heard this Chris Cornell version of Billie Jean yet, you're going to have to hear that tomorrow morning because that's pretty spectacular.
Okay.
We are going to talk to a spokesperson for Microsoft about their new Zune, which is their...
What is that? I've seen all the commercials all weekend while I was watching football. Zune this, Zune that.
It's their iPod.
It's their iPod.
It's their iPod, yeah. But it also has wireless capability.
Well, they're not very clear at all in their commercials what's going on there.
We'll find out starting tomorrow.
I see a lot of people dancing. That's all I've seen.
Yeah. No? That's what it is, yeah. So we'll find out tomorrow. Also, things that got stuck in your ass. And
what?
We have Sydney Margolis tomorrow morning.
Oh. Hey, maybe David's sister can come on with us and have a fun topic.
That was problematic at best. So tune in tomorrow morning. That's tomorrow morning's Kevin and Bean Show.
Cat Corbett's up next with 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock, including Alien Ant Farm, also My Chemical Romance, Smashing Pumpkins, new music from The Killers, it's called Bones, we got Foo Fighters, and of course you're just minutes away from finding out another band that's playing K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2006. We'll see you tomorrow on the world famous K-Rock.